Sports Central. AFL.
And we're never too far away from the footy here at 11:16 SEN Melbourne Time of Sport, and neither are they at afl.com.au where Ash Brown works. G'day, Ash.
Hi, Kev. How are you?
Good. How have you spent your final weekend before footy kicks in and head down bum up time?
Watch a bit of the Big Bash on TV and a bit of reading and some errands and what have you. Yeah, last free weekend. Next weekend, there's a game of footy on every weekend from now till end of September. So with the women starting Friday night, of course. So it's calm before the storm.
Now, Ash, you were supposed to say mowing the lawn, tidying my room, cleaning up the shed, all those things you were supposed to have done this weekend, which none of us ever get done. But it's come around really quickly. Everyone seems to be going, okay, there hasn't been any really damaging kind of injuries come out of the pre-season that I can think of off the top of my head.
A couple of minor ones. I know Jeremy Ladley from the Swans, he's hurt his elbow. He's going to be out for about 6 weeks. That was one that came up during the week, so that's a bit of a blow for them. But nothing serious. There's been no sort of major knee injuries or anything like that that really worries teams, because now most teams, if they're not playing practice matches, they're doing mass simulation. So things are getting a bit serious out on the track. And this is that sort of time now where teams really just put the foot down. They've got really hard trading blocks, most of them now, ahead of their first JLT series game in the next few weeks. So it's a bit of heart-and-mouth stuff now for footy clubs, but so far, nothing too major.
Now, she'll be right in the middle of the cut and thrust of this, as will we here at 11:16 SEN. Will the start of the women's season and all the publicity that's going to generate next Friday and Saturday and across the next few weeks, is that going to take away a little bit from the men's and the focus off the men's a little, and we might see some things slipping under the radar that we won't get to hear about?
Well, I think, certainly at our website, we'll keep across everything that we can. I mean, we're actually boosting our staff numbers for a couple of weeks to make sure that we don't take our eyes off the men's competition while the women's going on. But I think I think people are really looking forward to it. I also think, I mean, you look at the crowd numbers and for the pre-season, I think there's a fair dose of realism now around the pre-season football, and even for a lot of people classify themselves as reasonably serious footy fans, they only pay passing attention now to what happens in the pre-season competition. So about who looks good and no injuries. But I think the women's competition, which is a fair decent competition, I guess, will check a lot of eyeballs, I think. But I think nothing tends to get hit in footy. The other thing, Kevin, of course, is that, having been in this caper in the city for 25 years, the morning after the Australian Open, which is Monday morning, sport had to say, righto, time for footy. Nothing escapes these days.
Yeah, that window that tennis and cricket and BBL and all that have been able to have shuts like there's no tomorrow. Tomorrow night at around about 11 o'clock.
Yeah, that's right. I said Monday morning. It's all about the footy in this town, and I think people are getting ready to gort themselves on that. But the pre-season competition is important, but I think that people taking their stride for what it is. We all want to see our teams perform well, not necessarily win. We want to see the young players show something. We like to see players in new positions. We get too worried if players play three games. It almost never happens now that the gun players play three games. I mean, that's almost an exception now. So, and it's all about minutes as well rather than game time. So, the certain players have to play 120 minutes over three games, and that's what they'll do.
Whether it's O'Meara or Wells or who it is, the players that have moved clubs and gone somewhere else, they're the ones we've probably got our eyes on the most over the next over this JLT Community Series.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's fascinating to see. I mean, you take these things at face value, but we heard second-hand reports yesterday that Tom Mitchell was playing in a practice match for Hawthorn out at Waverley and was slaying them. I mean, he's the guy they brought across from the Swans. So, I'm very excited to see how guys go. I'm really keen to see how a guy like Brett DiLidio fits in with the Giants.
Yeah.
And I think, he could be the missing link. They just, in that Plumley final last year, they just lacked a bit of composure, a bit of class experience to get him over the line against your boys, the Bulldogs, in what was a fantastic game. So he's a guy that I'm most looking forward to watching. But there were 38 players here to change clubs at the end of last season, which was a record.
Jeez, is that many? Wow.
Yeah, it was a huge numbers. So there's a lot of things to look forward to. I don't think we'll see Jago O'Meara playing for Hawthorn in the pre-season, but they're talking about him not making his debut in the home and away season until round four or so. So I suspect he won't play much through the summer. But as I said, there's plenty of other players going around. Daniel Wells, I mean, there was concerns he was carrying an injury at Collingwood. that calf injury again, having crossed in North Melbourne, but he started to brief you on the track, and then now talking about he'll play at least one game in the pre-season. So he's another big name that we'll have a look at over the next few weeks.
The good thing about it is, as you mentioned, Ash, is that we've taken that that pseudo serious thing out of the pre-season competition, and we now all look at it from a club point of view, from a fan's point of view, from a press point of view, everyone's point of view. We look at it for what it is. It's a couple of games to get some minutes into legs, to get some game plan sort of worked out a little bit, but it's certainly not for chocolates.
No, that's right. But it goes back to when you and I were going up, Kev. They were called practice matches, and that's what they were.
Yep.
And I guess because they're live on TV, with 8 camera angles and what have you, that in every game, they're built up to be more important than they really are. I mean, and we watch them because they're on. I mean, if you're working in the industry and you're a keen fan, you sort of have to watch these games. I mean, I endeavour to watch 3 or 4 of these games over a weekend when I can, because it's important to see who's doing different things. But that's what it's all about. Match practice for round one, and I think a lot of supporters now understand it's, they'll pay for the tension and then crank up seriously before round one.
Yeah, and I think that that makes it makes it realistic for what people are out there doing, and you don't get as upset and as passionate about these games as there once was when there was trophies on the line for it.
No, but again, things to watch. We've got new rules this year. We've got the third man up rule that's been eliminated from ruck competitions, and umpire's boss Peter Schwab yesterday explained how that's going to work, and it's going to be like the old schoolyard, Kev, where the umpire's going to ask for a volunteer from each team to take the bounce around the ground or the throw-in, and if no one puts their hand up, he'll nominate a player from each team, and away they go. We've got the deliberate the rush behind, the 9-metre zone is sort of going to be enforced a bit, so how will umpires enforce that? So, again, you've got to watch these games, these early games, to see how umpires interpret things and other things they may be quietly paying attention to that may not have been broadcast.
A suggestion that we should put the nominated ruckman in some sort of bib or like the soccer players have the thing on their sleeve to say that they're the captain, that should happen. Do you reckon that's going to be part of the future?
Well, it's an interesting suggestion, isn't it? I haven't quite thought of that. I'm not sure practically how that would work. I mean, and when a ruckman interchanges, would he have to take off his bib and give it to the other player if he moves to the forward line to be the rest of the
game? Don't think the intricacies have been worked out yet, Ash. I think someone just floated it on social media and said, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think in theory it's a good idea. I can't see it working somehow. But again, how teams adjust to all this in the next few weeks is a real point of interest.
Maybe we could just in the television coverage have them have a big arrow pointing to the two blokes who've nominated for the ruck, so when you're watching it at home you can see who the two are and you can look at it on the big screen at the game you're at. Maybe we'll get to that ridiculous situation. Ash, enjoy the rest of your final fling weekend off.
Looking forward to it, Ken, and we'll talk soon.
Ash Brown there from afl.com.au. The last weekend without footy before it all gets underway with the big start of the women's competition next week, Collingwood and Carlton. Remember, it's not at the Olympic Park, it's at Icon Park. Next week for the Friday night and the Saturday games, the Giants and the Crows at Theberton and the Bulldogs and Fremantle at Whitnoble. So big weekend to kick off the women's footy next weekend. We'll be right across it here on 11:16 SEN.